Hi, and thanks for joining us. You're listening to a message from the People's Church. Whether you listen online, attend our local church, or both, you are a part of our vibrant community.
Good morning. It's great to be with you. It's cold. Do you agree? It's cold. I'm from Texas. Now, this is cold. But you have trees, and I'm excited about that. You've got real trees. All of our trees are rolling across the highway. They're called tumbleweeds. It's nice to see some real trees, and it's great to be back with you again this morning. Why don't we go ahead and open with a word of prayer together? Father, we thank you for this time. We ask that you would minister to us in a personal and a powerful way by your word and by your spirit. We give you this time in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite you to a one-foot journey this morning. This journey is a journey from head to heart. We tend to live from our head space and all the thoughts that are currently in there. The current version of our thinking can sometimes run our lives. We let it run the way we do marriage. We let it run the way we do relationships, we let it run the way we do our listening and our communication. And yet the Bible calls us to live from another place, not merely from the head, but from the heart. Now, I'm afraid that this one-foot journey becomes extremely difficult for us if we believe that our heart is untrustworthy. This journey from head to heart becomes nearly impossible if we believe that our heart is dirty and sinful and rotten and distant from God. We believe these things because we have misconceptions about our heart. So today we're going to look at the one-foot journey from head to heart, and we are going to inquire of the God of the universe concerning the nature of our heart. Is your heart still sinful and dirty and wicked and wrong, or through new birth has your heart been made right and holy and blameless and new? And if so, what implications does this have for you and me as we make this one-foot journey from head to heart and begin living from the core of our being? But can we trust our hearts? You know, the worship leader, there he is with long hair, it's looking cool, and he's got his jeans and just the perfect amount of holes in them, you know. And he's strumming on his guitar, and mid-song, he looks up to heaven, and he says, God, we've got wicked, wicked hearts, Lord. And the auditorium erupts with, amen. And you just want to hit the pause button and say, wait a minute, wicked, wicked hearts? No, 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 no. That was before salvation. I've got a new heart, not a wicked heart. Can we trust our hearts? Well, the Bible says not to ask our emotions, not to ask our feelings, not to ask our past and our experiences and our performance, but instead to inquire of God himself. It says here in Hebrews chapter 4 that the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and the word of God is able to judge the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. So this morning, essentially, we're going to ask God to use an x-ray machine and expose the nature, expose the composition, the spiritual nature of our hearts. If we were to open you up on a spiritual operating table, what would you look like on the inside? What would you see? And so as we ask this question, we will learn an incredible truth that may surprise you. There is a place within you where Christ lives, and it is a pure place, much like the Holy of Holies in the Old Testament. This is why we are called the temple of the Holy Spirit, because God cleaned house, and then he moved in. And so this morning, as we look at this, in order to understand what kind of heart we have on this side of salvation, we have to first journey back and understand an unbeliever's heart. Before we were born again, before we were changed, what did our hearts look like? According to Scripture in Romans chapter 1, it says, God gave them over in the lusts of their hearts. So apparently, prior to salvation, our hearts were lustful. Our hearts lusted after sin. Our hearts desired sin. Our hearts craved sin. But that is a description of the unbeliever, not the believer. So if you were to take this message, this scripture, this description, if you were to take it to heart as a believer, then you would be reading someone else's mail. We are listening in on a description of someone else who is not us. After all, do we want to say, I've been born again, but I haven't been born again? I'm a new creation, but I'm not a new creation. Christ lives in my heart, but it's a dirty, dirty heart. He gave me a new heart, but somehow it's not new. We engage in double talk, and we miss it, and we fail to celebrate what God has done for us and to us in the new birth. In describing an unbeliever, in describing someone before salvation, Ephesians chapter 4 says this: they were darkened in their understanding, excluded, that is, cut off, excluded, not connected to the life of God because of the ignorance in them and because of the hardness of their heart. Again, this is an unbeliever, not a believer. Romans chapter 2 says something very similar. It says, because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself. Who is it that will experience wrath? It is the unbeliever, and this is a description of the unbeliever's heart. What have we seen so far? The Word of God is clear that for an unbeliever, our hearts were, past tense, our hearts were, not now, but then, our hearts were lustful, our hearts were hard, and our hearts were unrepentant. But did God change that? Is salvation just getting forgiveness? Many people stream down the aisles at churches, and they come to the front, and they believe that they are receiving nothing more than forgiveness of sins and some new destination called heaven. But salvation is much more than forgiveness of sins and a new destination. Salvation is a heart surgery. Salvation is a DNA swap. Salvation is a radical change at the core of our being. It changes our spiritual cravings. It changes our spiritual passions. It changes our spiritual desires because our heart has been transplanted. So what about your heart? Can you trust your heart? That's the question we're asking this morning. If your heart is desperately wicked, we pull up a reference from the Old Testament and apply it to our hearts. If our hearts were desperately wicked, we certainly could not trust them. But God has given us a new heart, a trustworthy heart. He has changed at the core our very desires. In essence, we're saying that God has crossed your heart. You remember perhaps as a child you recited, cross my heart, I hope to die, stick a needle in my eye. I'm not asking you to do that this morning. But nevertheless, I am saying that God has crossed your heart. Now, what do I mean by that? He has taken your heart to the cross. Salvation is not just Jesus dying for us. Salvation is also us dying with Jesus. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live. The old I no longer lives, but Christ lives in me. And now the new I lives by faith in him. The old I taken to the cross, buried and raised, the new I now lives in dependency on him. He crossed your heart. You hoped to die. And that's exactly what happened. You died with Jesus Christ. This is the other half of the gospel. Jesus Christ died for you, and you died with Jesus Christ. Ezekiel 36, an Old Testament passage, speaks of this. There's a prediction, a prophecy about this occurring for us as God's children. It says, "Moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you, and I will remove the heart of stone and give you a new heart." And then he says, "And I will put my spirit within you and cause you, inspire you, motivate you from within, cause you to keep my statutes and walk in them." I want you to notice a few things about this passage. First and foremost, we get a heart surgery. You get a new heart. Secondly, you get a new spirit. Now, did you notice that this word spirit is not capitalized? This word spirit is lowercase. It does not refer to the Holy Spirit. It refers to your human spirit, your spiritual self. And so we were the old self, now we are the new self. I had an old human spirit that was dead to God and alive to sin. Now I have a new spiritual self that is dead to sin and alive to God, the polar opposite. Now, on top of that, I have the Holy Spirit. You notice the passage says, "And I will put my spirit within you." So many Christians are acquainted with having the Holy Spirit live in us, of course. That's 101, salvation 101. We have the Holy Spirit living in us. But do you see that salvation is more than just getting the Holy Spirit like whipped cream on top of who you were? It's not just the Holy Spirit. It is you having the core of your being ripped out and replaced. You having your spiritual heart, your spiritual self replaced at salvation, so that you are now united with Christ, one with Him. And what I'm saying is compatible with Him. Compatible with Him. If you are not aware that there has been a radical change at the core of your being, then you will begin saying things like, "It needs to be all of Him and none of me." Now that sounds really humble and really spiritual, except it's not the gospel. The gospel is not all of Him and none of you. God already had all of Him for millions and billions of years. For eternity, it has been all of God. But the gospel is Him inviting all of you to come participate with all of Him. And so we, the new creation, get to be involved. We, the child of God, as children of God, we are united with Christ. Do you know, the Bible says that you have become the righteousness of God. He didn't become the righteousness of God. He already was. You became the righteousness of God so that you could fit and be compatible with Him, one with Him in spirit. The Bible says anyone who has joined himself to the Lord is one spirit with Him. How can that be? God cleans house and then He moves in. He doesn't live in dirty places. He changed who you were and then He came to dwell within you. And both are very important to understand. Can you trust your heart? Can you trust yourself? We'll answer that question in a moment. Hebrews 8 puts it this way: "This is the covenant that I will make. I will put my laws into their minds, and I will write them on their hearts. I will be their God, and they shall be my people." You'll notice that God has decided, under this new covenant, He has decided to etch, to inscribe on the lining of your human heart, on the lining of your spiritual self, He has decided to put His desires so that you want what He wants. If you don't understand what I'm saying yet, I want to offer you a sentence to ponder. I want you to consider this statement. It's a short one, but I invite you to wrestle with it. Here it is. I don't really want to sin. Christian, you don't really want to sin. Now let's let this play out. If you want to sin, then quite frankly, there's no hope this side of heaven. It is impossible for you to live contrary to your desires, contrary to your true self, for the next 80 years. And so your hope is in heaven, not now. But if your heart has been changed, then your true desires have been changed. If your spirit, if your identity, if your core has been ripped out and replaced, then so have your passions and desires. And so this is why we as believers, have you ever noticed, not before a temptation, it could be very confusing during temptation, but after temptation, think about the moments after you've given in. Are you super content and pleased with what you've done? Or do you find yourself going, miserable man that I am, who will rescue me? I'm doing the very thing that I don't want to do. Did you hear me? I'm doing the very thing that I don't want to do, Romans 7. So apparently you don't want to do that. And yet you end up doing it because we get deceived and we end up acting contrary to our hearts instead of in line with our hearts. We bought into the most recent version of our thinking, thinking that we could make life work this way, thinking that we could cope this way. And the Bible very clearly tells us that we have unrenewed mindsets, don't we? We have unrenewed mindsets. Not every thought is trustworthy. And so where do we go? Where do we go for answers? Do we just shout to heaven, looking and hoping and waiting for some inspiration in the moment? We look down, taking the one-foot journey, and we look into our heart where Christ dwells. He's given you a new heart and a new spirit and a new core so that you can live from it. So let's take a look at the believer's heart for just a minute. Romans chapter 2, it says, he is a Jew who is one inwardly. Suddenly the new covenant is not outward but inward. Circumcision is that which is of the heart by the Spirit. Circumcision is a cutting away. Circumcision is a surgery. And so what we're seeing is that new birth, salvation, life in Christ is a surgery on your heart. It is a surgery on your spiritual heart. It is a cutting away and the giving of a new heart by God's Spirit. Romans 6 says, thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from where?
The heart.
From the heart. God, I've got a wicked. No, I've got an obedient heart.
Amen.
I used to be a slave of sin. My heart craved sin. My heart desired sin. I had passion for sin in my heart. I was a slave to it, but that's who I was. And now my heart is an obedient heart. Do you desire obedience? Look to your heart. Do you desire obedience? Look to where Christ dwells in your heart. It's true that we wrestle with our current thinking, right? Essentially, we are God's mobile device, aren't we? You find yourself running around the planet as God's mobile device, and he offers you downloads, doesn't he, to your mind? Have you noticed that you're getting an offer for downloads, updated software? God is offering you software updates in your mind. And as you very well know, on a computer, you can either click accept, right? Or you can even click remind me later, right? Hey, God of the universe, remind me later. I'll deal with that tomorrow. And so we postpone the renewing of the mind sometimes. But get this now. That's out-of-date software, but we already have the spiritual hardware. That is out-of-date thinking and out-of-date software, but we've already got the spiritual heartware. Big difference. We became obedient from the heart. So God cleaned house, and he moved in. He doesn't live in dirty places. You are the holy of holies. You are the temple. You are holy and blameless and righteous, and that is real because of the heart surgery within you. I very well know that we get the thoughts. There's a battle. Do you hear me? There's a battle. It's real. It's every day. It's every minute. There's a battle. We get the thoughts. But what I'm saying is, what a difference it can make if I recognize that those thoughts don't come from my heart. Those thoughts don't come from my spirit. Those thoughts don't come from my spiritual self. I am the new self with a new heart and a new spirit and God's spirit, and I don't desire to sin at my core. Do you see it? If it's just me and what I want, well then good luck opposing that. If you want to sin, good luck opposing that for 80 years. But if you are on God's team and the thoughts are not of you, now that makes an enormous difference, doesn't it? So I am called to something. My destiny to which I am called is this: when the sinful thought travels down the hallway of my mind, the lustful thought, the gossip thought, the critical thought, it travels down the hallway of my mind, I am called to say, I count myself dead to that, and I am alive to you, God. I count myself dead to sin and alive to God, and this does not fit. But if this were to fit, see, if this fit with my heart, well, then I'm doomed, at least till heaven when maybe he'll polish me off. But there is no last-minute heart exchange. There is no last-minute spiritual surgery on the core of your being. It has happened. It's called being born again. What changed? Do you hear me? What changed within you when you were born again? Something changed. Your heart cries out and longs to be known and expressed. And so we take the one-foot journey, the one-foot journey to better communication, the one-foot journey to a better marriage, the one-foot journey to better relationships, the one-foot journey to better listening to people. Think about it, in relationships like marriage or any relationship, sometimes we live in this headspace and we seek to win. We argue with each other, we bicker, we compete, we seek to win, and we begin to prosecute as if we're in a trial. We begin to use this headspace and our current coping mechanisms called the flesh. We begin to operate in this headspace and we prosecute the other person and we present the evidence of why we are right and they are wrong. And then, of course, they take up the mantle, they take up the role of prosecuting us. And so we argue and we state our case and we defend ourselves and we present the evidence and we seek to win and everybody loses. We seek to win and the marriage loses. We seek to win and the church loses. We seek to win and the friendship loses. Because we are operating from our current understanding of how to cope instead of living from the heart. God cleaned house and he moved in and he changed your heart so that you could live from your spiritual core. And that is real and that is now. Hope does not disappoint. Romans 5 says, the love of God has been poured where? Within our hearts. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Ephesians chapter 3. Because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son. Where? Into our hearts, crying, I belong to you, Father. My heart belongs to you. I am of your family. I've been invited to your table. His Spirit bears witness with my spirit that I am different from the guy next door. Salvation is not forgiveness in heaven alone. Salvation is, God, I am different at the core. You have done something radical to me. And I want to probe the depths of all that it means and understand it. Well, have you ever been tempted to find yourself, you say, I've got it all up here. I just need to get it down here. Right? We Christians, we say that a lot. I travel the country and beyond, and I hear this. It's a regular statement from believers. I've got it all up here. I just need to get it down here. Do you know that's dead wrong? That's backwards. See, the Bible tells us that we don't have it all up here. That's called the renewing of the mind. That's in process. That's progressive. We are learning and growing in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we do have it all down here. The heart surgery, the DNA swap, a new heart, a new spirit, God's spirit made complete, lacking nothing, united with Christ. Where is that true? It's true here. But this is still happening. We are learning and growing. So next time someone says, I've got it all up here, you run for the hills. No one has it all up here. The spiritual truth is that we have it all down here. We are complete in Christ, lacking nothing in the spiritual core of our being. So it's not, I need it down here. It's the opposite. I've got it down here. Now, Father, renew my mind. Spirit, renew my mind. Spirit, teach me of the finished work that's occurred in my heart. Now, I'm going to go over here for a side note. And as I do, I go to the side for this side note. I guess I have a question for you, and that is, but what about? But what about yourself? I've spoken about our heart, but what about yourself? As I travel and speak to different groups, I say, can you trust yourself? Christian, can you trust yourself? Guess what answer I get back? A very impulsive, a very reactive answer. No way. I cannot trust myself. I can only trust God. Now, what is that saying about yourself? Well, you're believing that yourself is dirty and rotten and untrustworthy. Let me tell you what the New Testament says about yourself. Your old self, Romans 6:6, your old self was crucified and buried and is gone. You are the new self, raised and seated with Christ. Yourself is united with Christ. You are the new creation. Now, don't get me wrong. I know there's a battle. The battle is the flesh. We spoke of this, the out-of-date thinking, the stinking thinking, all those old attitudes, out-of-date software running in our head, coping mechanisms, ways that we've tried to make life work. That is the flesh, and the battle is real. But get this. You are not the flesh. You are a child of God. Amen. You are not the power of sin. You are a child of God. It is not half of you against the other half. You don't have two hearts. You don't have two selves. You are the new self, and the fight is against the world, the fleshly thinking, and the enemy. I was with you a year ago, and I shared this illustration that fits so well with what we're talking about this morning. If I were to take this paper and put it in this book and fold it up tight, and then I were to throw this book into a fire and burn it, what would happen to the paper? It too would be burned. Why? Because the paper is in the book. If I were to dig a hole and bury this book, what would happen to the paper? It too would be buried. Why? Because the paper is in the book. If I were to go to downtown Toronto and find a shop with a very high shelf and raise this book up and seat it on the shelf, what would happen to the paper? It too would be raised and seated. Why? Because the book has a paper inside of it. The paper is in the book. You see where I'm going. Salvation is not just forgiveness and heaven. Salvation is, I will take you out of Adam, and I will place you in Christ, and by being in Christ, you are crucified, buried, raised, and seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. This is the truth about yourself. Christian, you are not two people. You do not have two selves. You do not have two hearts. You are one person, the new creation. Your fight is very real. Our fight is very daily in our face and obvious and real, but the fight is not against ourselves. Jesus said it himself. He said, a house divided cannot stand. We are not a house divided. We are united. We are on God's team. We are on the same team with the God of the universe. He has given us a new spirit that is compatible with His. So a new heart and a new self means new possibilities. I'll close with just a snapshot of a few verses. Look at what it means to live from here, from your spiritual gut, from your passions, from your desires. Look at this as the Bible speaks of it. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, each one must do just as he has purposed where? In his heart. You know what the invitation is? Look to here and live from here. Do what you have purposed in your heart. What does that say about your heart? 1 Timothy 1 says, the goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart. How could that be unless your heart is pure? You have a new heart. Flee youthful lusts. Pursue righteousness with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. 1 Peter chapter 3, let it be the hidden person of the heart. That's what we're talking about. Today we have a spiritual x-ray machine. We're asking the God of the universe, show me the hidden person of my heart. Show me who I am. Let it be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious. Your heart is precious in the sight of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Summary. God crossed your heart. He took your heart to the cross. God cleaned house and moved in. Christ in your heart, a safe place for Him to be. Your heart is an obedient heart. Conclusion, you really can trust yourself. Self is not a dirty word for a Christian. Flesh, completely untrustworthy. Do not trust the old software. Do not trust the coping mechanisms. Do not trust the world, the flesh, the enemy, the power of sin. Do not trust them. But you, as the new self, trust what God has done. Count yourself dead to sin and alive to God. You really can live from the heart. The final thought is this. Will you take the one-foot journey? The one-foot journey to a better marriage. The one-foot journey to better communication. The one-foot journey to a better life. The one-foot journey of operating not from here, but from here. This is a safe place for you. This is where Christ lives. He cleaned house and moved in, and He is trustworthy. And as the new self, so are you. You are united with Him forever. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for these truths from Your word. We operate at a feeling level. We don't feel new. We operate at a mental level. All of our thoughts don't line up. We get temptation. We get critical thoughts. We have gossipy thoughts. We have lustful thoughts. And we say, how can it be? How can it be? And You tell us, yes, the battle is real, but the battle is not half of you versus the other half. The battle is real, but it's not a battle of two hearts. It's not a battle of two selves. Father, we thank You that we are on Your team, united with Jesus Christ forever. Father, we thank You that You have made us new at the core. This heart surgery, this DNA swap is incredible. It makes us just say, wow, and thank You, and count ourselves alive. We are alive and connected to You, and we are grateful. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray it. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message from the People's Church. Our desire is to proclaim the Word of God and to see lives transformed. To find more like this, or if you'd like to contact us, visit thepeopleschurch.ca.